Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or even ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So today's sermon is God's prohibitions on speech. A prohibition is something that God prohibits, meaning he says that there are certain things you ought not to do. That is a prohibition. It's like in the Garden of Eden, God said you can do all of this stuff, you can eat from all of these trees, but you see those two trees over there? No, you cannot eat from those trees. When we have a relationship with God, There are certain things that God says yes to, and there are certain things that God says no to. If we want to have a relationship with God, we must be aware of the yeses, but we must also be aware of the noes. You feeling me, church? Today we're going to talk about God's prohibitions on speech. James, who is or was the brother of Jesus, describes the human tongue in three ways in this passage. The tongue is a fire, he says. The tongue is a restless evil, he says. And the tongue is full of deadly poison. Now, he's not looking at the tongue from a medical perspective. You know, when you go to the doctor, you say, well, stick out your tongue. Take a look at the tongue. Well, what color is that tongue? Is everything okay? He's not looking at it from that perspective. He's talking about the tongue as the device through which we communicate. Okay? We cannot communicate without our tongue. And he's saying this is the device which God has given human beings to communicate with. He's saying, he describes the tongue in three ways. It is a fire, it is a restless evil, and it is full of deadly poison. We're going to examine those three descriptions today. The tongue is a fire. He says, the tongue also is a fire. In verse 6, it is a world of evil among the parts of the body. He says it corrupts the whole body, and it sets the course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. The tongue is dangerous. It can corrupt your whole body, and it can send you to hell. This is what James says about the tongue. And we would do well to listen to him. Because right now, your tongue could be corrupting your whole body. And you may be on a path towards destruction. And hopefully this message may save you from that destruction. Some fires are amazing, especially when you want to have a barbecue. Controlled fire is unbelievable. You put those wings on that grill, and you can control it through the knobs, through the grill knobs, and that thing comes out nice and tasty. But uncontrolled fire is a powerful and destructive force. We have seen just recently how powerful and destructive fire can be. That's why as children growing up, we always were told, do not play with fire. Fire has devastated the town of Lahaina in Hawaii. And these are some pictures. I mean, it's unbelievable. In a few short hours, fire has ripped through that entire town. These are some pictures I got from the internet. I mean, everything that was in the way of that fire was destroyed. These are some buildings. They just look like they have just completely collapsed. This is a man walking through a town, walking on a street that's been completely devastated. And you see the anguish on people's faces. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of there's a lot of people trying to serve those who have survived, and we just need to pray, brothers and sisters, for the people of Lahaina. And I am sure that Hope Worldwide is going to be doing something. Lucette asked if there's an announcement today. As of right now, no, but I am like 100% sure that we're going to be doing something there. But we can pray, and if you are so inclined to, there are many donation sites that you can, you know, the Red Cross, obviously, but there are many donation sites that people can give. But we just have to pray. You know, what always blows me away is that in a few short days, this town took decades to build, and in a few short days, is gone. Lives have been lost. There's a rising death toll. The fire has plunged families into despair. Many have lost loved ones. They've lost their homes. They've lost valuable possessions. They've lost their schools. They've lost their livelihood. I was speaking to a campus minister in New Jersey, Matt Rupert, a few weeks ago. Him and his wife were on a Hope Youth Corps event in Hawaii. And he told me that the town of Lahaina was the town that they would visit every single night. They were just in that town 3 weeks ago. And now that town is completely obliterated. But it is interesting that James compares the tongue to a fire. Because just as that uncontrolled fire wiped out that town of Lahaina, uncontrolled speech can destroy families. It can destroy relationships. It can destroy churches in the very same way. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for in the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." The New Testament writers understood the destructive power of the tongue. And in several New Testament letters, there were instructions that prohibited certain kinds of speech. And we got to understand why the Bible prohibits these kinds of speeches. Because they prioritize preserving relationships in the church community. Ungodly speech can tear people apart in the church community. We can say things that hurt each other. We can say things that ruin people's reputation. And we must understand that we've got to be very careful how we use our tongues. That's why in Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it might benefit those who listen." That's on us. That's on me. We've got to make sure that there is no unwholesome talk that comes out of our mouths, but what comes out of our mouths is helpful. It is a benefit for those who listen. Point number two, the tongue is a restless evil. Verse 8, no human being can tame the tongue. How many of you tried to tame it? You can't do it. You cannot do it on your own power. Okay, we can tame animals. We can tell dog, sit, jump, Ruffy, jump. You can't tell your tongue. You say, "Oh, I don't want to say this anymore," and then boom, it comes out. Jesus said that the evil that is spoken originates from the heart. Matthew 12:33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now he's talking to the Pharisees, but he's articulating an important principle. Whatever comes out of your mouth originates from your heart. If your heart is evil, if you have evil thoughts in your heart, you cannot help it but come out of your mouth. You can't help it. And what Jesus is saying is, you can't just talk about controlling the tongue without dealing with what's in your heart. Verse 35, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. By your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now, just think about that. According to the scriptures, according to the words of Jesus, we will have to give an account for every word spoken. How does that make you feel? Isn't that challenging? Wow. I'm going to have to give an account before Jesus for the words that have come out of my mouth. Jesus says it is a restless evil. If the mouth speaks lies, then the heart is full of lies. If the mouth speaks bitterness, then the heart is full of bitterness. Everyone will have to give an account. We're going to be judged by the words we speak. And so we would do well, brothers and sisters, to be very careful with how we speak to our wives. Can I get an amen? How we speak to our husbands. How we speak to our children. How we speak to our bosses. How we speak to our employees. How we speak to our brothers and sisters in the church. Let us exercise great care with the words that come out of our mouth. Point number three. The tongue is full of deadly poison. Deadly poison. Poison kills. Now there's fast-acting poison. Like if you got bitten by a cobra, if you don't get to the hospital within minutes, you are gone, right? Because that is just, the venom of a cobra is highly lethal. But do you know that there is slow-acting poison? There are poisons that you can take tiny bits of that over a period of time will kill you. Yeah, slow-acting poison. Let me tell you a few. Arsenic. Now, many of you know, my wife and I, we love forensic files. Okay, we love forensic files. And one of the things that I observed in forensic files is that, you know, when husbands and wives are having their thing, some spouses, they say, I'm going to get rid of this guy. Right? This is what happens. Now, we're laughing about it, but it's serious business, right? And so, whatever it is, and, the human mind is corrupt, and they say, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I don't want to get caught, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop some tiny bits of arsenic in my spouse's dessert. And you find that the husband, or sometimes it's the wife, they go, hey, honey, here's some dessert. I made some dessert for you. And unbeknownst to the spouse, you eat up that dessert, and then after a period of time, you get sick and everything. And then, anyway, long story short, the cool thing about forensic files is that they have discovered ways to detect arsenic poison. But yeah, a person can have arsenic in their system, and there's no visible signs. You can't look at somebody who has arsenic poisoning and go, oh, you look like you're being poisoned. There's no visible sign. Lead. is a slow-acting poison. And there was a period here in the U.S. where people discovered that a lot of buildings were painted with lead. And it was a then they realized that, you know, because kids would suck on, you know, little, you know, kids put their mouth, put things in their mouth at any time. And they discovered that these little children were having high doses of lead in their system. Where's that lead come from? Well, it was a paint. It was different things in apartments. And then it was this massive effort to, first of all, stop having lead in the system, but also to take off, you know, to kind of do some sort of remedial action with all the paint and all that stuff that was, all the stuff that was painted with lead. So lead is a slow-acting poison. What's the point? The point is poison destroys the internal organs. You can't tell that something is taking place because internally they're being destroyed. And the other thing about poison is that it can harm innocent people. That's why, you know, kids, make sure that kids are, you know, protected from these poisonous substances, because kids have no idea that this product is poisonous. You know, the Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews 12, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So according to the Hebrew writer, he says that we've got to be on our guard that there is a bitter root. Okay, a bitter root. What does a bitter root do? It grows up, the scripture says, and it causes trouble, and it defiles many people. So the problem with the tongue being a poison is that it doesn't just affect you, but it has the power to defile other people. That's the problem that James is saying with the tongue. Because if out of my mouth I am embittered and I'm speaking my bitterness to somebody, that person, if they're not wise, will themselves become embittered. And that is how it can spread. And what does he mean by it defiles many? What he means is that when someone is defiled, they cannot have a relationship with God. Now, they're not walking around, you know, with their hand like this. I mean, all these things are taking place internally. You can't see it. But the devil is at work destroying our faith and our inner being. He is eating away at our souls. Because of the spread of bitterness. And what should our posture be? Should our posture be like, well, you know, I think this, I'm not really sure what's going on. I'm just having this kind of hands-up disposition. According to the scriptures, no. In verse 15, it says we must see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. We, myself, you, everybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ has to obey this passage. See to it, he says. We cannot take a hands-off, lackadaisical approach when we detect the poison that is coming out of people's mouths. You feeling me? So, can you think of any incident in biblical history when a bitter root defiled many people? Because we're talking about the tongue, right? And he's not talking about just the tongue of Christians. He's talking about the human tongue. And trust me, if you're familiar with the Bible, There are times, there have been incredible times in biblical history when people have used their tongues and produced destruction in the community. We don't have time to get into this, although I have it in my sermon. Because of time constraints, we're not gonna talk about this. But this is one of the most famous incidents in Numbers 13 and 14. It's actually called the Rebellion. Okay? And I want you to go home and read this. You may not be familiar with it, but it is called the Rebellion. And it is a significant time in Israel's history, where if you just look at it, and you'll see that people's words spread like a destructive wildfire in the church. And it altered the course of the Israelite nation for 40 years. We would do well to read that, because there are applications that are relevant to us today. So, what have we learned today? According to James, the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a restless evil. The tongue is full of deadly poison. These are the three things we've learned from James chapter 3. And my question is, do you believe the things you've heard today? Now, I had a picture of a guy, and he's rolling his eyes up in his head. Because if you're hearing this for the first time, you're like, what in the world is this guy talking about? And for some, this may be the first time you're ever hearing the tongue described in such vivid words. But for others, who may be more familiar with the passage, you believe it, but then there's something in you. There's something in us that we go, is it really a fire? Oh, I don't know. Me? My words? Oh, no. Is it really a poison? And we experience something called cognitive dissonance. It's a psychological term. A cognitive dissonance is when you are aware that you have conflicting views about something, but you don't know what to do with the conflict. Okay? Now, you know, we may believe these things that we just said, but there's some conflict internally that we got to deal with. Is the tongue really that destructive? Is it really that poisonous? Is it really a restless evil? There's a tension, if we're honest with ourselves, that we all are wrestling with. And I want to talk about what I believe is a reason why we are experiencing tension or dissonance. Anytime you have cognitive dissonance, you have to ask yourself, what is the source of it? We're having some problems with the screen, but it's all good. What is the source of our cognitive dissonance? I believe one source of our cognitive dissonance is the Constitution of the United States of America. What do you mean by that, Sean? Well, in the First Amendment, The Constitution has enshrined the freedom of speech. And it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. That is what it is. That's what is said. And from there, this concept of freedom of speech has taken on a whole life of its own, because now we believe that we are free to say anything we want to say. And it is instructive that at this very hour, a highly elected official has been indicted for things that he said. People are shocked. But I thought, we have freedom of speech. Yes. Herein lies the cognitive dissonance. Because we hear from James these prohibitions, but in our culture, in the community that we live, we have so venerated this concept of freedom of speech that we resist any prohibition as an intrusion in our personal freedoms. We've got to understand the society that we live in. We've got to understand why these conflicts take place. And we've got to ask ourselves, is there a difference between what the Constitution of the United States of America says and what Jesus says? But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Does the U.S. Constitution inform its people of that reality? You see, the question we have to ask ourselves as men and women who believe in the authority of Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, which has the greater influence in our thinking? Is it the Word of God, or is it the Constitution of the United States of America? And these are profound things we have to wrestle with. But you cannot put the Word of God on an equal footing with the Constitution of the United States of America. Why? Look. The Constitution, the U.S. Constitution is an amazing Constitution, but it is written by men. And at the end of the day, I will not have to give an account of my speech to the Founding Fathers. You feeling me here? I will not see the Founding Fathers and have to give an account of my speech. Who we will all see is Jesus. And he said we will have to give an account for every empty word spoken. And so, brothers and sisters, bear this truth in mind the next time you open your mouth. Our theme is to rebuild, restore, and renew. And over the next few weeks, we're trying to take a look at how we can rebuild, restore, renew our relationship with one another. And the primary way we have connection with each other is through speech. It's how we talk to one another, how we relate to one another. Our tongues have a great power to destroy the community of believers. Scriptures prohibit gossip, slander, discord, and lying, because these are the sins that tear our relationships apart. So, Let us examine these prohibitions, and let's examine ourselves and submit our tongues to the authority of Jesus. In closing, fire in the scriptures is not always a bad thing, but in the scriptures, fire is also symbolic of God's impending judgment. In Revelation 19, the Apostle John saw Jesus, and he wrote what he saw. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. At this time, we're going to say a prayer for the communion. If you do not have the communion cup, just please raise your hand and the ushers will go around and give it to you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus, who shed his blood so that we can be redeemed from this empty way of life that is in the world. Father, I thank you for just how clearly your scriptures spoke about the tongue and spoke about the power and the destructiveness of our tongues. Father, please forgive us if we have in any way sinned with the use of our tongue. Father, fill us with your spirit and help us to examine our hearts and rid ourselves of any sin that is in our heart that is causing us to speak unwholesome words. We beg your mercy, and we beg for transformation as we want to rebuild, renew, and restore our relationships with one another. Father, as we take this bread that represents your Son's body, and as we take the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that he shed on the cross, please wash over us, forgive us, transform us. Father, please help us to have renewed hearts, and please fill us with gratitude for the salvation that we all share because of your sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.